This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
At the six, hand off Algier, coming to the right side, plowing to the two, to the one, to the goal line, touchdown.
Brad Sham with the call right here on 105.3 The Fan. Home of Jerry Jones tomorrow, live at 8:30. That touchdown made it 27-13, but the Cowboys still end up losing in Atlanta. We got to talk about some player reactions to the loss, in-game and afterwards. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. I'm Sean Shreve alongside Ralph, James Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. The Dak video. I want to give props to Tolo David Olson. And my wife is always cool with how much time I spend on work. Or I don't know if she's like cool with it, but she's very understanding. And part of the reason I want to interact with Tolo so much as often as possible and try to answer every single DM and message is because of David Olson. He sent me the Dak cursing video. And I was like, yo, man, your account's locked. Just tweet it. I'll retweet it. I can't retweet it with your account locked. He's like, no, all good. I want you to have it. Thanks for interacting. So I went back to the time and place in the game, and I got Dak saying what looks to be, we effing suck. And right now it has 1.1 million views. The thing obviously blew up and went crazy. Do we have a problem with this? Do we have any issue with this? Dak Prescott on the sideline, or Bobby, are you challenging this and thinking this is not what he actually said as amateur lip readers?
I'm not challenging it quite. There was a challenge presented by Awful Announcing. They had they'd picked this up and they said, is he saying we bleeping suck, or is he saying these refs suck or refs bleeping suck? Now, I thought no way the first couple times I watched it, but then I was watching over and over and over again. And you know how after you watch like 20 times in a row, you start saying, maybe I am seeing that a little bit. Right. Maybe I am seeing Waldo. Maybe I am seeing the magic.
Yanni.
Guy. Yeah. And
Yanni,
so,
and Laurel.
I started tricking myself a little bit, I think. I'm settled, I think, on it is we bleep and suck. But I was like 60-40 last night. Now I'm more like 80-20. I'm back. I'm clear-headed again. But I'd watched it 15 times in a row and started getting there. But there are some people who are suggesting he might be saying refs bleeping suck, which I imagine will be the out that Dak takes this week. Will be on us talking about the officials.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That'll get him fined.
He'll own it. He'll own it and say, look, I'm frustrated. He may not even talk while undergoing the MRIs. Mm. Who knows? Look.
I thought it was easy. Clear.
I agree. What do you think?
That it's clear, like, or
of him saying it,
self-awareness. I don't have a problem with it. I do think that it's the worst thing that McCarthy could hear, because like the moment that the players think the team stinks and the leader thinks the team does, that's the moment where you start to you're in CY. The players are in CY. They start playing selfish if they already weren't, you know. You're not going to take team at bats. You're not going to move the runner over. You know, you're going to play. You're going to worry about your stats. You know, you're going to start doing stuff like that. It's a bad sign. That's a very bad moment for a player. You get the little things stop being important the moment you realize we ain't going anywhere. If Dak thinks they stink, That means the rank and file are going to think that they stink, and that means they're going to stop worrying about the little things, which showed up yesterday with, what was it, 7 of the 9 offensive penalties were pre-snap? Those are the little things that you stop worrying about when you know it's done.
I have absolutely no problem with him saying it. Is it unfortunate he got caught on camera? Yeah, but, you know, you gotta have discussions with your teammates. I'm not going to sit there and say, you got to act like the camera's on you 24-7. Don't say anything like this. You're talking, you're watching, you're observing. I got a tweet here from Frankie Kenneth. Oh, my Lord, how can any self-proclaimed leader of a locker room, money-grabbing, overpriced human ever stoop this low? Cowboys should file a grievance with the league to null and void that extension. This is despicable behavior, and we need to root it out. I'd rather hear Dak Prescott admit reality and the truth than Jerry Jones keep telling me they have a chance to achieve their goals. Which one would you rather be told, y'all? For real. Separate what you think about Dak as a franchise quarterback and whether he can win the Super Bowl. This is really no different from the famous Tom Brady-Belichick clip standing on the sidelines against New Orleans. They're both saying the same thing. They're both saying we suck right now. What's wrong with that? What's the problem? I'd rather them go into the locker room versus Dak saying, go ahead, jump off. Do you have that clip, Peyton? Did you go ahead and find that? After I tweeted out this video, people made fun of Dak, which I think is funny, saying, man, that's a long way. It's a long way from you saying this back in the day. Do you have it, Peyton? All right, play it. All right, fantastic audio that is.
Jump off if you want,
jump
please.
Jump off if you want, please. Jump off if you want. So that makes Dak look foolish, but he's just saying the truth. They do effing suck, and we've known they were going to effing stink, and that they do blanking stink. I'd much rather be told that than Jerry coming on here and saying, well, we got the players and the coaches, I believe. I believe in the players and the coaches. I don't have a problem with it.
No, there's no issue because they do.
It's a little unfortunate for him that it got caught on camera, or it may not be unfortunate, so we can all just stop. For anyone left, for anyone left pretending, and there's very, very few, for anyone in the locker room, I'll say in Frisco, for anyone in Frisco left pretending, maybe this could just go ahead and erase all doubt.
Yeah, I don't think it's unfortunate for him at all. I think it's, people complain all the time that he doesn't show enough emotion and he's too robotic. He had a moment where he just looked at it and was like, yeah, we suck. Because they do. They're bad. Yep. They're a bad football team. They are one of the 10 worst teams generously in the NFL right now. If you look at their splits on EPA per play and on defense and offense, which is an efficiency metric, they're the worst defense in the NFL. They are the 10th worst offense in the NFL. That's what they're putting out there every week, and it's bad. And I think it's a good moment to see. He clearly sees it for what it is. And that's why you always got to understand Dak's a politician. Dak's going to talk a certain way. That doesn't mean you're getting the same thing. There was one moment yesterday where he slipped in a way he doesn't normally, where he got onto Zach Martin really bad after it was either a pre-snap penalty. I think it was delay a game or something had occurred. And he was barking at somebody. And he doesn't usually do that publicly. Dak's whole philosophy is Dak will hold guys accountable. Dak will get in guys' ears. Dak will bark at people. He doesn't view it as productive to do it in front of the media or to do it in front of he thinks that's in-house, that's family stuff. I don't need to put that out there. You don't need to know all my dirty laundry. You don't need to know how I'm holding my guys accountable. But yesterday he did it a little bit. There's been a handful of times he's done it. I remember he did it Tampa, the opener a couple years ago in Tampa, where he pulled Tyler Biadasz to him and started to, and then he quickly like caught himself like, oh crap, and kind of dropped it. I think you're just, when you start seeing those cracks a little bit, where he's snapping at Zach Martin on the field, and then he's just a little more leisurely saying, we suck, and allowing the cameras to catch that, I think that shows just how down everybody's guard is right now and what they feel about this team.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think that's part of the problem that, and I don't think calling people out publicly does any good. I know fans love to hear, I don't think it does any good, but every quarterback gets on the offensive line or on other offensive players when there is pre-snap penalties. They all do it. You have to do it. Like, you know, and you know, that doesn't mean that the quarterback's always right, right? They're not always right with what they're doing, but this is part of being a leader, is that you've got to do those kind of things.
Kevontae Turpin tweeted, then quickly took this down. Thanks to the Tolos for bringing this to my attention. Turpin, please keep my name out y'all's mouths, reporters and all. And I was like, oh, that'll fix it. That'll fix it, Cavante. He needs to tweet that to Greg Olson. Greg Olson was going at Turpin yesterday for stepping out of bounds, for not making a catch, for being tired, for being fatigued. And people were getting on Cavante, I think, for one of those Cooper Rush deep balls. So that is Turpin being very frustrated.
Why is Turpin the go-to on fourth down every play, every week? It always seems like they're gonna throw one up to Turpin on fourth down. It's like, he's 5'2".
Well, I think it's a microcosm.
Yeah.
Was it Greg Olson or was it the repeat offender? Was it Mike Leslie tweeting yesterday?
Uh-oh.
Cavante Turpin, terrific return man. He's not an NFL wide receiver.
Oh!
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh,
so I don't know. It's possible. We already know they catch the.
What is that based off of? Off the end zone? I mean, based off these nuts. It's also, I guess, the pass down the left sideline the week prior. I think those were tough catches.
Sure, he's small. Yeah. He's got natural limitations, but. I would say that there's probably a tendency, because that got a lot of traction, that tweet from Mike Leslie. I'm sure he got tagged in it a couple times, Cavante Turpin, and I'm sure Turpin went, I know who this is. We just talked about this guy last week. And so that's the, just so you guys know, when Diggs snaps, which he shouldn't have, this is kind of a pattern, I would say, that exists for players they feel like, and that specific reporter.
What is up? By the way, how the Tolos reacting to the Dak video? Understandable or can't do that? Bad leadership or real leadership? 877-881-1053. What are you owing to?
For the 906, Dak is 25th in QBR. He should be telling no one nothing. I don't think that matters. I don't think
they all stink.
They all stink. Yeah, where you are, whether you're having a bad year or not, like the quarterback still has a job. Like that's part of the gig.
And he didn't say they bleeping suck. Right. He said we like that because they all do. Right now they do. This is the worst year of Dak's career. This is an awful coaching job by Mike McCarthy. The offensive line isn't very good. The defense hasn't been very good. Everybody's been bad. They are all bad. And so we bleeping suck is a great encapsulation of this team right now. That's the thing I tweeted yesterday. We got to stop trying to figure out what's wrong or spend time figuring out what's wrong. There's nothing wrong other than they're bad. Like, this is just, they're bad. There's no fix. There's not a, well, what are we missing here? You're missing nothing. This is a bad football team. And it sucks for them. Their window's closed. I'm sorry. It's time to renovate. And they're going to have to make some changes. And that better not start with a trade on Tuesday.
Dak Prescott on what it's going to take to get this thing turned around.
Obviously, as I said, for me to be able to heal fast, as I said, I think CD's just banged up. Nothing serious there. Other guys getting back, being healthy, and some games that are all within in front of us. A lot of division games start next week, right? Our second one of the year. Sometimes this league, it just takes one. It takes one to get it going, to get that confidence back, to feel good. And rally from there. So not looking too far ahead. It's about getting our bodies back and healthy tomorrow and then trying everything in our power to put our best performance next week at home.
Okay, that's enough. Philly team. That's enough. I want RJ Choppy's Starcastic Star Ups brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL. After I give a quick shout out, my girl Lupita, she was playing for Good Shepherd Catholic Volleyball. They did not get their win to go to the playoffs, but she'd been grinding, working hard. She was disappointed throughout the weekend and don't need to be. So all the local school shout-outs, hit us up. Bobby Belt will be probably at your next practice in order to cheer you
I'm
up.
There.
All right, Chop.
All right.
Make us cheer us up. All right, Lupita needs cheering up.
All right, listen here. Star up to Mike McCarthy for throwing that tablet on fourth and one. All right. That was on the butchered end around by CD. Now, listen, we all know how frustrating the new iOS updates can be. Okay. And he's just helping us out. Okay. He's trying to he was telling Apple in front of thousands and millions and billions of people worldwide and Microsoft, because I think that's the Microsoft tablet. He was just telling people, your tablets suck. He's helping us out. I guarantee you, we're going to have a new update coming up very, very soon. Just you wait and see, folks. just because of Mike McCarthy.
And then the other one.
Star up. I know everyone's down on the fake punt. There was an underlying thing they were trying to accomplish there.
Uh-oh.
First of all, Dak hadn't thrown the ball that far downfield. They wanted to see if they could actually throw the ball that far downfield in this game. They weren't sure if the ball was too heavy, if it wasn't traveling well. And also, I don't think they wanted to hurt Dak's QBR because they knew that they were going to use, he was going to throw a pick. They were using anger as the guinea pig. That was a long play. That was a long play for later on in the game for when they finally put Cooper Rush in,
literally
a guy who could actually throw the ball downfield. They wanted to see if the ball could travel that far indoors.
That's what it is. It's 10 steps ahead, chestnut checkers.
That's all you got.
These are my new favorites about Cowboy Mondays. Star Chasm from Ralph James Choppy here on DFW Sports Station, 877-881-1053. In order to hit us up, let's talk about what happened. We'll save some of the Odyssey app messages for 8 o'clock with more calls and texts. What else happened inside the NFC East?
Here goes Hurts going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed. I don't know if he stayed. He's in!
Oh, my goodness.
One hand! I don't know how he did it! I don't know how he did it!
Shut up. God, I can't stand his nasally-ass voice. Get some nose spray. I have a lot of it with my Texas allergies. That's Eagles Radio with the call. Devontae Smith with the nail. Well, no, I guess N'Kobe Dean was the nail at the interception of freaking Trevor Lawrence. Nice throw, Bassick. What an awesome throw from the Wonder Kid as the Eagles get the W over Jacksonville. They were up 22-0. Devontae with a sick catch. I don't know how he did it. But, of course, all everyone is talking about, maybe the highlight of the year with the Saquon reverse hurdle, something we've never seen done, and that I'm sure Madden 2025 is figuring out.
I have never seen that.
No one has.
I've never. How do you even think of that in that moment? Oh, let me just hurdle you backwards.
Man. That's crazy.
When I watch it back, I genuinely think he like got caught between trying to decide if he was going to spin or jump, and then he got stuck. I think that's what he. I don't think he tried to do it. I think it was instinct.
It doesn't matter if he tried to.
No, it's cool
fact that he could. He's a freak.
No, it's cool, and he's awesome. He was 200 yards from scrimmage or whatever it was yesterday. He's been a beast, and you know, hat tip Kellen Moore. Great job getting the most out of Saquon Barkley. You're doing great work out there, Kellen. Can't wait to see some of your concepts this weekend. It'll be the most modern offense to be called on AT&T Stadium's field in a while, but. It looked to me like he almost just his brain got scrambled for a second. He's like, I'm going to hurdle, then I'm going to spit, and then he got stuck.
This is the difference between us and athletes, is that athletes do that, and we're sitting here watching TikTok videos on can you jump without using your knees? And that's just the difference in us right now.
Wasn't there some viral thing about standing for 40 seconds on one leg?
People under 40 should be able to stand on one foot for 43 seconds. That's the test. Otherwise, you have like, I don't know, you're off balance. And then people from between 40 and 50 need to be able to do it for like 38 seconds.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's like it's something we should do during the expressway one day.
Do you think that's like, has that been vetted at all? Or is that just something TikTok made up a time for it? Like when they've told us, today's the one day you can stick your broom straight up in the kitchen. And then you could do that every day, it turned out.
All right, so the Eagles get the win over Jacksonville. They got screwed, too, by that Walker return touchdown. He was down by contact, and they gave Jacksonville a free 6 points out of that. And now Philadelphia moves to 6-2. They are right now 6.5-point favorites at some different books heading into Arlington this weekend.
There was no business for Jacksonville to be anywhere close in this game. By the way, if they would have been able to steal this game, it would have been an all-time you have no business winning that game. Jacksonville was on the road. Philadelphia was 9 of 17 on third down. Jacksonville was 3 for 10. Jacksonville had 3 turnovers. Philly had 1. Philly doubled them up on yards. There's literally nothing in the stat sheet that explains how it was a 5-point game. There's not like, I guess that happened. Nothing. But they were fortunate to be down there, and the football gods just said, no, N'Kobe Dean's got to pick this off because this is just too absurd.
Meanwhile, could the rookie of the year keep it going?
Jaden loads one up towards the end zone, towards McLaurin. He catches it! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Perfect throw from Daniels to McLaurin!
I think I heard some applause in the Commanders booth there on Commanders Radio. They were up 21-7 at the New York Giants, but history was finally broken as Daniel Jones threw a touchdown at the Meadowlands for the first time, and I believe the number is...
like 3 years, isn't it?
672 days.
Oh, boy.
672.
The note out there yesterday was that the Chiefs won two Super Bowls in between Daniel Jones' two touchdown passes at the Meadowlands.
Oh, no.
That's pretty bad.
That's really, really bad.
Yeah, because he was on a run that was like from the end of 22 up through this game where he was... no touchdowns, 10 picks, like, and somehow his passer rating was still in the 50s somehow. But I mean,
and it was a brotastic locker room afterwards, Bobby, when you sent us that. God, that hurt my heart with Dan Quinn. It's just, it was a love fest. It's a love fest right now in DC. So much so that Adam Schefter reported yesterday before kickoffs that everyone wants to go play for the Commanders now. It is now a total complete culture change. Players want to be dealt to Washington. That was Schefter.
It's when I hear that clip of the Washington announcers, like, I genuinely, not even a joke here.
Bram Weinstein.
I think they genuinely are just like, they don't know how to react to, like, football being good. They're just, they're so they're not used to controlling their emotions. And so
Bram's also a lifetime, not insulting him, but he's always done updates. And then once Larry David, Snyder's boy, got caught in some scandal, they're like, we need a play-by-play guy. So they didn't just go find like a regular play-by-play guy. I think they plugged him in. Anyway.
So you're saying it's like if...
As you turn back towards Peyton and all the fan cam, he's doing, he's like a here. Monkey.
He's just scratching head,
his
man.
Head with two...
He's going to kill off Brad Sham.
That could not have been better timing in my entire life. As Bobby turns back to Peyton to say he could be the next play-by-play voice for a professional team, and he's over it with both hands.
Was I on the fan cam then?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, that was priceless.
We need to run through...
That
like,
was priceless.
We need to run through some of the Cowboys' touchdowns this year and have Peyton do play-by-play calls for him, compare him, see how he does compared to Sham. This was not a particularly impressive victory for Washington.
Yeah,
either.
They're going a little too nuts over a win over the Giants. Now, it wasn't a 5-point win. It was on the scoreboard, but it was a late touchdown they got. They went for two. They missed, thank God, because they would have covered.
Yeah, I mean,
the Giants would have covered the spread. They didn't.
It's wild to see Washington go from the team of, it doesn't matter what they have. They could have everybody in place, and it's going to go sideways, and it's going to go awful. It's like, no, they have genuine problems in their secondary right now. It didn't matter that Brian Robinson was out. They went, oh, no, plug and play. Next man up. We've got it. Our system will be fine. We're going to be able to move forward. They have become a team that weathers the storm and gets through it, and this team's going to be hell for the next 4 years. While Dan Quinn's got this core together and Adam Peters is doing what he's doing, and depending on how long they can keep Cliff Kingsbury, Washington's going to be really good now for the next few years.
Well, they've got the formula, which is a cheap quarterback. You know, the moment they pay him, I mean, all bets are off. You don't know how everything works, but they've got a free quarterback, and that's like the biggest cheat code in the sport.
Marshawn Lattimore and other corners are being connected to Washington for the trade deadline tomorrow. Jerry Jones tomorrow at 8:30. More on that at 8 o'clock here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, every single week at this time, we recap your weekend.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.